Hey, thanks for tuning in to Reading Radio. This is Kaechung, 1630 AM, broadcasting live from Chinatown. Tonight I'm going to read a little interview with my good friend John Martin. He's really happy about it. What inspired you to start a pirate radio station?
It is a volcano of inspirations. New reasons for doing this keep popping up. From the beginning, there's been, on the one hand, the curiosity to know how radio actually works, to learn by doing. And on the other hand, the excitement of bringing together a community, something that is made by many people for many people, as an outlet or a venue for things people are making. Music, talk shows, call-in dialogue, interviews, news on the street, or whatever. It only gets better and stronger as a wider range of interests is added and each contributor brings their own set of inspirations. As for myself, I used to have a late-night punk rock show on a college radio station from 2 to 5 a.m. Many of the people calling in requests were listening from within a nearby prison and had been tuning in for almost 20 years while incarcerated. It's a huge thing to understand that not everyone has access to the internet. Not everyone has mobility, and yet pretty much everyone anywhere can listen to the radio. Although it was a coincidence that we set up our transmitter in Chinatown just a few blocks away from Twin Towers, the world's largest jail, it's been an inspiring consideration as I work to make this a strong platform for all of the strangers in our range.
Well, Kaechung isn't always pirate. Depending on the circumstances, we operate inside or outside the confines of the FCC regulations. But as far as inspiration, I have always loved tuning around the broadcast and ham bands looking for signals. It's really fun to sit outside at night, spin the dial, and find someone from another continent talking about who knows what. I also used to DJ and help the engineers at KDVS in Davis. And I've always liked tinkering with electronics. When I moved back to Los Angeles, I thought to myself, why can't I build a radio station? Why can't I build a radio station? So I put together a transmitter kit and talked to Luke and Harsh about the idea. And before we knew it, we were getting together show proposals from tons of people.
Are there any particular stations from the past that have influenced this project?
For me, it's not so much about radio stations so much as it is the idea of radio. The history of radio is full of tinkerers, experimenters, and people who just want to get their voice heard. When radio was a new medium, nobody knew what was possible. Anyone could come up with some new oscillator circuit or method of modulating and revolutionizing the field. It was all very utopian.
I grew up in Philadelphia at a time when it seemed like there was a different free radio station on every block, mostly associated with squats or collective houses run by the Rastas or the punks. I learned a great deal by overhearing something that appealed to me, coming from a mysterious source, compelling me to find out more. Specific stations in the world I am thankful to have learned about include London-based jungle and hardcore stations, including Cool FM, Rush FM, also Radio Alice, a focal point for the Autonomia movement in Italy in the late 1970s. Free Radio Berkeley, a great resource for learning how to start your own radio station, and Free 103.9 in New York, to name a few. Free radio is about compulsive sharing, it seems. Established stations exist partly to inspire other stations to start.
I find it inspiring in this world of so many internet streaming only stations, you still choose to broadcast with an antenna as well. Why did you decide to add this element? Why is it important to the project?
Kaechung is and always will be about radio broadcasting.
This is a discussion we return to often, especially with many contributors sending broadcast material from outside the listening range. At the moment, we broadcast only in the air, using the internet for archiving and discussion. It's not necessarily a matter of preferring small scale. We're simply excited to be directly modulating the airwaves, instead of us using so many intermediaries. We take the internet and the sense of social ubiquity it gives us for granted. Radio is a way of seeing these connections in a real and immediate way, having a little more insight into how they are built. Besides, there are so many amazing internet radio stations that are already doing their job perfectly. We might not be adding anything valuable to that world.
Is there a curatorial vision to the programming that ends up on Kaechung?
We use a community radio model where there are very few curatorial restrictions, and the choice of the community defines the voice of the station. There are a few people who are in charge of the station, but our role is more of caretakers. If anyone else wanted to step up and do what we do, they would be welcomed in.
It's true. People follow their affinities mostly. Solomon has been doing an amazing amount of research into how to build the equipment needed for broadcasting. Harsh Patel has been the sole contributor to the design aesthetic of the station. Other than that, we put out an open call for submissions, and people who have the interest and the energy are given a venue to do what they like.
Why do you think radio is still a valuable public service?
Nothing comes close to it as far as distributing information on a local scale really fast. Local stations can also become geographically specific focal points for cultural production.
It can go through walls. I think that in addition to the localized aspect, there's a time element to it that is for some reason missing from the internet. Dead air wants to be filled, and that desire is a strong motivating force.
What have been the best and worst parts of running a radio station thus far?
The best is when I drop the technical issues and look around at what we've done. The worst is when I can't drop the technical issues.
Do you have plans to extend the range of your broadcast?
This is a question that comes up often. People want to know our wattage or our range and how much bigger we want to get. Broadcast power is an issue for all radio stations, but it really is a context-dependent issue. In the ham radio world, we talk about the right amount of power being the least amount you need to do the job. The technical requirements for Kaechung are not static. We are doing a broadcast party on Kaechung Road. What? If we are doing a broadcast party on Chungking Road, then we may have enough power as a legal Part 15 station to do the job. If we are trying to run a 24/7 broadcast schedule that covers an area like Chinatown, then we are going to need a little more.
We'll always be experimenting with different transmitters and amplifiers to see what works best. My sympathies are divided between pursuing a legal low-power broadcast license that would allow us to be on the air full-time and wanting to try something like a spark gap transmitter in which we transmit for only the shortest of moments but interrupt all radio transmissions in LA. One possible solution is a syndication co-op, where we, as a group, each operate our own small transmitters around the city, syndicating the same content. We're also continuing our style of bringing a transmitter and antenna around to different locations. We've set up temporary broadcast spots at Ooga Booga, Human Resources, New Atlantis Enterprises, the Anarchist Book Fair, the Public School, and next month we'll put an antenna on top of LACMA to reach the west side. I think there's something really nice about being able to see everyone who is tuning in when there's only a one-block range, but there's also something amazing about a signal strong enough that it goes places we could never intend.
Chinatown, Los Angeles is an area close to downtown that has a long history of arts-related activities. Some of the most renegade art galleries in the history of the city have started here on Chungking Road, and it still plays host to the studios of many important artists. The most recent addition to the Chinatown family calls itself Kaechung, and it is a private radio station with a broadcast capacity of around 500 to 1,000 feet. Even though the reach could be considered small by radio standards, the station has managed to attract some of Los Angeles's most interesting talents. Artists, musicians, writers, and impresarios galore frequently stop by Kaechung to produce unique shows. The following interview with two of the founders has just been reread.
So what did you think about that, Jack? That interview.
I'd say that's pretty accurate. Of course, my voice wasn't heard at the time, and that's probably for the best.
My voice also wasn't heard, and that's definitely for the best at the time of this interview. And this interview is now almost a year old. How old is it? It's amazing to think what we've accomplished in such a short amount of time.
I know.
The Kaechung family.
Well, as long as we're in the spirit of reminiscing and looking back, do you think you have any particularly favorable nights here at the station, Johnny?
I would say a favorite night of mine was the night where I decided not to leave after my show and stay for the show after mine, because the show after mine was the Zen Mafia show, and then I got to be friends with some really great people from staying that night. And also the first night I broadcasted, because that was just really exciting. What about you, Jack? What were some favorite nights of yours?
Well, I think probably one of my most favorite nights at Kaechung was before I even had a show. We were back in that other space, and it was so small, and we stood outside and smoked cigarettes and got ready to read poems for you, Johnny, on the radio. And I had no idea that I would ever have the opportunity to fulfill this dream of mine.
Another favorite show of mine was when you read from your writing, In Search of Intuition, and Andy Hutton told the story of, or played the role of, a fat, gay Danish man who had had a Joseph Boy's box that was kept by a lover. And it's a really funny story. And I recommend that you all listen to it somewhere on the archive. I don't know the exact date.
Solomon, would you like to chime in this moment of reminiscence? Oh, he's got so many thoughts. He can't wait to say something. It's just too many to say at once. Well, maybe another time when you've calmed down.
Mm-hmm. Solomon does everything on Kaechung except...
Yeah, no content.
Yeah.
No content from Solomon. I'm trying to think of some other things I did here. Not really that much stuff. Although I feel like I'm here all the time.
One time I brought some girls down here who were gibbon conservationists, and it was really dark, and you and Corey Hansen were reading a really critical text, I think, but you were playing funny noises, and I think the girls were really scared and confused, and I really liked that time. And... also, you did a similar thing where you read letters from Penthouse, I think, or Hustler magazine, was it? Penthouse, and played funny cartoon noises over it, and I really enjoyed that show as well. The cartoon noises go a long way for me because they remind me of the Benny Hill show, and I never watched it, but I remember watching a lot of commercials for it as a child.
Yeah, I like those sound effects too, but yeah, I worry that they could get played out. I guess it could be argued that they're timeless, but I was just thinking, as long as we're just going to talk about each other's shows.
Oh, okay.
There was one show that I really enjoyed a lot because you didn't have anything planned at all, and you didn't know what you were going to do, and so you just started reading your book, and you just like marathoned that shit. We got through like 6 chapters of it, and it was just like building and getting better and better. And honestly, I never would have read your book, Johnny, but I'm so glad I got to hear it.
Would you read the rest of it now, having heard the first 6 chapters? If I ever finished it, because it's only as long as what you heard.
Yeah, I was about to say, Christ, so there's more book than that?
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess so.
But I think about that book all the time.
Well, this is an endorsement right now.
I would like to highlight an episode of The Rap Show that I attended once as a specific standout K-Chung moment for me, because we paused in between to talk about my sex life over instrumental rap tracks, and I made a confession to Andy Elthorpe, or not a confession, but we came clean about the fact that I'd hit on him on Facebook when I thought he was gay. And that was a really special night for me, because I thought that we didn't have any friends in common, and who should I see when I come into the K-Chung basement one day but my friend Andy Elthorpe in the flesh, being friends with many of my friends who I guess some of them don't have Facebook.
Yeah, that is pretty good. I sort of remember the night before that night when you first came down.
First came to the station.
Yeah, when Andy Elthorpe first came to the station and you were having an emotional crisis, and I was talking to you about it in the stairwell and laughing a lot.
Yeah. That was a special night at K-Chung, and the following rap show was special because it now opened up the possibility of more episodes of the rap show where I talk about my sex life, and that is something I think I enjoy doing, especially when the liquor is flowing and Nate Walton is here to push that conversation in the wrong directions. And I think it's a funny thing that I do that, because my own show doesn't always talk about those topics, but often does, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, you want to play a song?
Yeah, off that computer, off of on a tape.
Yeah, let's play a tape.
Let's play a tape. All right, let me go look for a tape, or Jack's gonna look for a tape.
All right, Johnny's going to find a tape, roll us out, reading radio. We didn't do that much reading tonight, but it's really a night to remember, a night to think back on all the times we had in this basement, all the times I sat in that foamy chair over there with the 80s paint job, and when we first got this crappy table, which is probably the crappiest table anybody ever got.
It's not a table at all.
It's just a couple buckets with a piece of wood on it.
One of my other favorite memories of K-Chung is the night that I discovered the tape by the band The Family down here. I thought it was a new indie rock band that I just hadn't heard of. And it turned out that it was actually Prince's side project from the 80s. And hopefully my favorite song is going to be, we're going to listen to it right now. We're just going to go back just a little further, because I really want to listen to the song that I really like.
One time I was emptying out the merch box, the swag box, and it also got called the shag box and the shaggy box, and I found big joint fixings in there just waiting for me as I counted up the K-Chung money. Oh, what a time.